In October, we love to tell those scary stories. Stories of how the dead come alive. Stories of zombies, ghosts, headless horsemen, and the sounds that make the hair stand up on your arms. Did you know there are real stories in the Bible of the dead being brought back to life? These are not some fictitious tales like the Headless Horseman, but true God-given stories. So find a good place to sit, close your eyes, and listen to true stories of the dead come alive. Elijah was a great prophet of God who had the power to strike an entire army blind with just a simple prayer. And there was a time when he would journey through the valley of Jezreel and pass by a prominent woman's home on his journey back and forth. She offered him food for his journey and eventually built a small room onto the side of her house with a bed so he could rest at night from his journey and didn't have to sleep out in the open wilderness. Elisha enjoyed her hospitality and asked one of the times when he visited what he could do for this kind woman. Now, he was told by a friend that she did not have a son and her husband was just too old. Elijah called her to the door, and as she stood in the doorway, he prophesied over her. At this season next year, you will embrace a son. She stared at Elijah. No, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. The woman conceived and bore a son at the time Elijah had prophesied. When the child was all grown, he would work in his father's fields, pulling in the harvest. Then, one day while out in the field, he came to his father in pain and agony. My head! My head! They carried him back to the house, and he sat in his mother's lap until about noon. And then he died. She placed the boy on Elijah's bed, grabbed a donkey and one of the servants, and left the house. She headed straight for Mount Carmel, where that man of God lived. She found the man of God, and she grabbed his feet, saying, "Did I ask for a son, my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me, my son!'" My son, he's dead. Elijah instructed his personal servant to depart immediately, taking his staff. He was told not to stop and talk to anyone. When he found the boy, he was to touch the staff to the boy's face to bring him back to life. The servant departed without delay. The boy's mother stared at Elijah. Oh, man of God, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you until my son is well. Elijah changed into his traveling clothes, and together they departed for her home on foot, well behind his servant. While still on the road, Elijah's servant found them to give them the bad news. The staff had done nothing, for the boy was still a lifeless lump. Arriving at the home, Elijah entered the room, shut the door behind him. The boy laid in the bed, quite dead. Elijah laid on the boy, putting his mouth and eyes on his eyes, and his hands on the boy's hands, and stretched himself upon him. The child's flesh became warm. Elijah walked out of the house and returned and once again stretched on top of the child once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elijah called the woman into the room and said to her, "Take up your son." She fell down at his feet, bowed herself to the ground, and took up her son and left. Elijah had brought the boy back from the dead. The dead come alive. After many years, Elijah became sick with an illness that took his life. While he was in the process of dying, the king of Israel came down and wept over him. Elijah prophesied one last time. He told the king, "Take up a bow and arrow." The king had a bow and arrow brought to him. "Put your hand on the bow." The king held the bow, and Elijah put his hands on the king's hand. "Now, open the window towards the east." He cautiously opened the window. "Shoot!" The king shot an arrow out the window. "The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over the king of your enemies. You will destroy your enemies at the city of Aphek." Elijah died, and they buried him in a tomb. Long after Elijah had turned into dry bones, Israel's enemies returned as marauding bands. A group of men were out burying one of their dead when they saw one of these marauding bands. They decided to cut the funeral short and toss the body into the open tomb where Elijah's bones laid. The dead body touched the bones of Elijah, and he was instantly revived. He stood up on his feet. Well, the men grabbed their revived friend and ran for the hills. The dead come alive. Jesus was a worker of miracles. He healed many people just with the touch of his finger, stilled the storm with his voice, and healed the slave of a Roman centurion with only a spoken word. People in his day were looking for signs and wonders from Jesus, and on this day, they were not disappointed. Might guess, the crowd grew large after word got out about the centurion's servant being healed. Jesus walked towards the town of Nain with a large crowd in tow, teaching the entire time as they were walking, many of his closest disciples staying very near him to hear his teachings. As they approached the city gate of Nain, a large funeral procession was heading out of town with only a small path for everyone to negotiate. The dead man who was being carried out was the only son of a widow who must have been dearly loved by the townspeople because the crowd was great. As the two crowds were passing, Jesus grabbed the coffin. The two crowds stopped. Jesus saw the widow and had compassion on her, for he told her not to weep. While still holding the coffin, he spoke to the dead body. "Young man, I say to you, arise." The dead man sat up and started speaking. This was unbelievable. Jesus helped him down and gave him back to his mother. Fear gripped everyone who was there. They all started glorifying God by saying things like, "A great prophet has arisen among us." And they also said things like, "God has visited his people." Jesus had brought the young man back from the dead. The dead come alive. The Romans did not invent crucifixion. They perfected it as a form of torture and capital punishment that was designed to produce a slow death with the maximum amount of pain and suffering. It was one of the most disgraceful and cruel methods of execution, and usually was reserved for the slaves, foreigners, revolutionaries, and the vilest of criminals. Roman law usually protected Roman citizens from crucifixion, except perhaps in the case of desertion by soldiers. The man Jesus was brought to the place of the skull for his crucifixion. As Roman soldiers nailed him to the cross, they divided up his clothes and cast die to give the winner their prize. A sign was posted on top of the cross, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Afterwards, the soldiers guarded him from the growing crowds that came to see this spectacle. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abusive comments at him, like, "You are going to destroy our temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself! If you're the Son of God, then come down from the cross." "He saved others. Can he not save himself? He is the King of the Jews. Let him come down now from the cross, and we'll then believe in him." "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if God delights in him. He claimed to be the Son of God." The robbers next to him insulted him with the same words. At noon, darkness fell upon the land for about 3 hours. Then Jesus cried out, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Soon after this, the Spirit left him. The earth shook with such a force that the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many of the dead bodies came back to life and walked right out of their tombs. Those who had been raised from the dead entered the city and appeared to the crowds on the streets. One of the Roman soldiers guarding Jesus felt the earthquakes, saw the dead bodies walking around, and became frightened and said these words, "Truly, this was the Son of God Almighty." A rich man from the community came and took the body of Jesus from the Roman soldiers. They wrapped the body in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own personal tomb, which had been carved out of solid rock. A large stone was then rolled in front of the entrance, sealing the body in the tomb. The Roman governor of the province dispatched a team of soldiers to guarantee the tomb would stay sealed, because Jesus had predicted that he would rise from the dead. The soldiers secured the grave along with setting a seal on the stone to guarantee the stone could not be moved without breaking the seal. This was the end of Jesus. At dawn of the third day of Jesus' death, two women came to look at the grave. Before they arrived, there was a severe earthquake. An angel from God Almighty descended from heaven and rolled away the stone that closed the mouth of the tomb. Then he sat upon it. The angel's appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as the new-blown snow. These Roman guards shook with fear, dropping like dead men where they stood. The angel addressed the women who had now arrived. "Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has risen from the dead and has left, making his way to the town of Galilee. Go, and you'll find him there." The women turned and ran, trembling with fear and joy. They ran and found their friends, who had already found Jesus, just as the angel had told them. All of them took hold of Jesus' feet and worshiped him. Jesus' words comforted them. "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my followers to come to Galilee so they can see me." At the capital, there was a conspiracy brewing. The soldiers were given large sums of money to purchase their silence. Rumors were started that the followers of Jesus stole the body while the Roman guards were fast asleep. This story was circulated throughout the Jewish community. Jesus' 11 key leaders met him at the mountain near Galilee, which he had designated. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but even some of them were in disbelief of his rising from the dead. Jesus gave them his last instructions before departing to the heavens. "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." After these instructions, all of them watched as he was lifted up into the clouds. Jesus is the only one in these stories who never died again, but lives on even to today. These are real stories out of the Bible of the dead being brought back to life. The dead do come alive in the Bible. If you note, our story of Jesus' crucifixion, after he died on the cross, many of those who believed in his promises came alive and walked right out of their tombs. Jesus brings life even beyond the grave. If you'd like to know more about the power of Jesus, I encourage you to contact the person who gave you this download card. To listen to Wayne's podcast, where he shares the story of God on a daily basis, tune your podcast player to Podcast Lizard Tracks. It can be found on any podcast player, or just command Alexa to play Podcast Lizard Tracks. Your storyteller today was Wayne Patton, and you can find him on the web at www.thelizardtracks.net.